This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have two gentlemen from a company called IQ Solutions. And we're going to talk about content management problems that many of my listeners have in the federal government. What kind of tools to use to manage content? What are good? What are bad? What is the dividing line between big data and small data and medium-sized data? And talk about all kinds of different types of data applications for content management. Our guests today are going to be Atul Ganatra. He's the Enterprise Systems Architect. And Adam Lee, Director of Information Systems from a company called IQ Solutions. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for having us.
I have to tell you, I was at an event about 2 weeks ago, and I always go to events. I listen to dozens and dozens of presentations. These two gentlemen were giving a presentation, and I pounded on the table. I said, finally, this is real practical information that my listeners can really take notes and listen to in 2 or 3 months and take notes again and really get a better understanding of what content management is all about and how to use a company like IQ Solutions or how to use some of their experience in solving the problems they have in managing large amounts of content. But before we begin, I thought we'd get a little bit of background on you gentlemen. Adam, tell me about your background, how you wound up with IQ Solutions, please.
Well, I've been working with IQ Solutions since around 2007. I've been in the government contracting industry for my entire career. Complete just chance entry into this field and into technology. I actually have a music background, but the first person who hired me was a vice president of information technology and web technology, and he really mentored me, got me into this industry, and I really haven't looked back.
It's the music math connection, isn't it?
Absolutely.
There's both of you the same letter. Maybe that's what it is. And Atul, what's your background, please?
I'm a career IT person. I've been doing this for about 17, 18 years. The funny thing is that Adam said, he was a musician and turned into IT. I would rather be a musician than doing the IT. But it wouldn't make nearly the kind of money that I'd like to make, and IT does. And so I keep doing IT and hope that someday I'll turn to music. And
so is that why your business card says wannabe rock star?
Wannabe rock star. Yeah. I hope I can do that someday.
Used to be rock star, and he wants to maybe eat and provide the mortgage payment every month.
That's one of the things I look up to Adam for. That hopefully I can play the guitar nearly as good as he does.
Yeah, that's good.
But I've been doing it for about 18 years. Far too long to mention in some groups. A lot of young people in IT, but I've been doing it for a while. Enjoy it, and I'm an enterprise systems architect at IQ Solutions. We build a lot of small to large systems for government at IQ Solutions. Prior to IQ Solutions, I worked for several commercial organizations. My biggest stint was at a transportation company, largest transportation railroad company in the United States. So I have a good mix of government and commercial companies.
Great. Well, Adam, tell me about the company IQ Solutions. Where are they based? What kind of agencies they deal with? What's the focus of their most of their expertise?
Yeah, so IQ Solutions, our headquarters are in Rockville, Maryland. We also have other locations, a second location a little bit further north in Rockville on Goody Drive, and we have a warehouse in Odenton, Maryland. IQ Solutions, we're a mid-sized government contractor, a full-service firm. We specialize in communications and health information technology. We're really dedicated to improving the lives of all Americans through that blend of the communications and technology. Obviously, Atul and I are on the technology side of the house. We're a CMMI Level 3 appraised group, but we have a very robust communication side as well. We use those two teams to really put together solutions for our clients that aim at improving their lives. Our primary customers are within the Department of Health and Human Services, and we work with several agencies.
Great. I was at your website this morning, iqsolutions.com, and I noticed the CMMI classification, so that's a big star on your forehead. And your blog, kind of interesting title for the blog, it's called Health with a Capital H. So it's pretty obvious what the focus is, and that capital H is written very, very large. It's everything from call centers to designing pamphlets to designing websites to managing content. And mm-hmm. we want to talk about managing content here a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are essentially the dissemination engine for a lot of the content that our customers produce. So federal agencies are doing everything from writing fact sheets to authoring web content to writing blog posts and Facebook posts and all of that type of stuff. They work with IQ Solutions to get that content out to the people who need it. So we operate what we call information centers, and that encapsulates everything from building and hosting the website for the agency to operating the call center. If you call the 800 number on the agency's website, you're calling IQ Solutions. To warehousing and shipping out the hard copy publications that the agency produces.
Yeah, it's almost communications with a capital C, because
right.
communicate in writing, communicate with a website,
exactly.
communicate mobile, all kinds of different ways to do
and
it.
What I'd like to add to what Adam said is that, you know, I mean, our roots are in the health communication and the traditional information centers, but we have been equally strong in IT space for, you know, several years, and have been doing a lot of, you know, cool things for a lot of government clients. And where that helps is that when we make the transition from, you know, physical to digital, it helps our client, you know, have that kind of background. And that's what we offer to our client, that, you know, traditionally we've been doing it in the, you know, warehouse and, you know, physical publications. But in the last several years, we've been doing all digital, and, you know, it works very well.
You know, it's interesting, because I've had guests on the air who just do Microsoft. I've had Oracle on there. They just do Oracle. And I've had customers that just, for example, MarkLogic. They promote MarkLogic. But what's interesting about your company is that you're kind of like one of those auto dealers that, yes, we work on Subarus and Ferraris. We work on Fords
exactly.
and Chevys. Your IQ Solutions. Well, you know, we have a big toolbox here, and we'll use whatever tool that you need. You know, you're not going to use a metric tool on a Ford, but you might need a metric tool on that Lamborghini.
Exactly.
And I'm sure you drove over here in a Lamborghini, right, Adam?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And, you know, let me tell you that, you know, we are the, you know, people who pick the right tool for the right, you know, problem, and that's where we excel. You know, not with at IQ Solutions, but I have an interesting story that I say many times, that, you know, I worked on a project for one of my previous employers, and they had their hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, set aside for a project, and for whatever reason, the project was getting delayed. And in the meantime, I built a, you know, small spreadsheet that connects to database and gets all the data. Guess what? That spreadsheet got more attention and more value than, you know, that big project. That big project never materialized, but the spreadsheet still, you know,
it was the right size wrench.
Yep.
Well, speaking of tools, a real popular topic on this station, I think everywhere, is big data. And what is big data? I've had on Cloudera, I've had on Hadoop experts, I've had on MarkLogic, and you were at the MarkLogic conference. But what's interesting is that you could have chosen a wide range of tools to solve the problem for an agency you were working with. You could have chosen Oracle. You could have chosen SharePoint, but use MarkLogic for this specific application to solve this problem. And I think that's, we want to maybe talk a little bit more about that, Adam, of the project you presented is that had unique characteristics, where MarkLogic actually had a tool set there that allow you to handle the process better. Tell us more about the problem that you solved.
Absolutely. So by way of background, the information centers that we operate for our clients have an underlying platform that we built in-house at IQ Solutions to essentially handle the transactions of agency stakeholders coming to the agency to get the information. This platform has all the information about the orders that individuals are placing and so on. And it stores basically all of the metadata about the content that the agency is producing, but it doesn't house the content itself. And so as we see a shift, and as we see, you know, other buzz phrases out there, create once, publish everywhere, which we really subscribe to, we needed to put in place some type of solution that would house the actual content, not just the title and the descriptions and so on. And so with that in mind, we really started looking at what are the different types of solutions that are great at content management. We looked at things like Microsoft SharePoint. We looked
that's
at
the first
things,
one.
Absolutely. And that's that. Honestly, is the first one that we looked at. We looked at things like Oracle and traditional databases. And we also looked at things like MarkLogic, which, you know, it has a reputation of being a great solution for big data, but we were not really looking at it for that reason.
That's what's intriguing about the solution, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yep.
And I think, you know, we had a content problem to solve more than the data. And I think, you know, the type of, you know, customers we serve, you know, there is equal importance and emphasis put on the content as much as the, you know, data. So, you know, we had a lot of content to be stored in our databases. So we looked at, you know, obvious choices like, you know, Oracle for database, SharePoint for content. But, you know, when we looked at all, you know, SharePoint came out, you know, looking the right solution.
We'll have to take a break. When we come back, talk more about, you know, selecting tools to handle large amounts of content for federal agencies. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Atul Ganatra, Enterprise Systems Architect, and Adam Lee, Director of Information Systems from IQ Solutions. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Atul Ganatra, Enterprise Systems Architect, and Adam Lee, Director of Information Systems from a company called IQ Solutions. We started talking off in general about the company and their focus on health and healthcare and communications, and we talked about the backgrounds of both of these gentlemen here today. I think what we're going to talk about now is this whole thing of big data and content management and databases. Now, because I'm an old geezer, I mean, I went to high school with Abraham Lincoln. I've seen everything. When I look at databases, I think of, you know, IBM, the old school with like a hierarchical database, and I think of Oracle coming along and kind of more relational. And then we see these transition to different types of databases that aren't structured at all. And there's issues of schemas here. There's issues of XML, all kinds of issues here. And Adam, maybe you can, is this a pretty good analysis for the last 20, 25 years of databases and how they've changed with all this new type of information? Or is that too rough an analysis?
No, I think it's definitely good. You're definitely seeing a shift. A lot of things have been changing, and it really impacts the government. The federal government is producing so much information, so much content, and they're really looking for different ways to make sense of it all and store it in a way that you can search it any way you want and really have the power of being able to get at the information. You know, it's not just putting it into a database. If you can't find it, it's useless. And that, I think, you know, brings it back to the information centers and, you know, the use of a tool like MarkLogic, that sort of thing, where you can really not just store the information in a way that makes sense, but also get at it.
Yeah. So Atul, you have a toolbox, and you have Oracle in it, you got IBM, all kinds of tools you can pull out, and you selected MarkLogic for this particular application. Tell me more about why MarkLogic and unstructured data and schemas.
Like I was saying earlier, John, that, you know, MarkLogic really shines because of its ability to, you know, store. You know, a lot of times we keep saying unstructured data, but it really is not unstructured database. Even MarkLogic people would admit that it's actually semi-structured data. So there is a structure in place. You can't just throw, you know, a bunch of information without knowing what it is. You can't just throw a bunch of text and expect to get much out of it. So there is a structure around most of the things you put in MarkLogic, and that structure is XML. So it helps you to know what is what within the document that you put in MarkLogic. The other thing that, you know, MarkLogic is really good at is that you really don't have to know ahead of time as to what structure of that XML is going to be. So it is structure aware, but it is structure agnostic. And, you know, a lot of times they call it schema aware, but schema agnostic. So you can have documents in MarkLogic with pretty much any schema you want. And as soon as you put the document in MarkLogic, it will index it. So we really were looking for this capability for the solutions that, you know, we did for one of our clients. And that was to solve the content problem they have. So typically, you know, the content created by our client was created in a siloed fashion, that, you know, they were created for a certain channel or certain format. They were creating PDF documents, or they were creating web pages, or they were creating, you know, print files. And the content, you know, was locked into this format. Once you have the content locked in, you know, you really cannot share it. You cannot update it, you know, without a lot of expense. So we wanted to solve the problem. We wanted to keep the content in a centralized repository and also in the form that we can, you know, slice and dice and repurpose it for many different ways. And Mark Logic was a really good choice to do those sort of things.
So, Adam, it really wasn't a matter of volume, with the classic big data problem of volume, but the problem that Mark Logic solved was organizing the information. Is that right?
Absolutely. And Atul mentioned the silos that information was being produced in. And what's interesting about that for the agencies that we produce, for a given agencies are struggling with how to move into new social media channels and how to continue to expand, how to respond to the White House digital strategy, how to do all of these things that they're being asked to do. And so they're responding to these mandates. And one of the things that we see is, you know, they're producing content in traditional ways and they have a process for that and they know how to do it and they're good at doing it. And they're adding new channels and they're adding new processes for each new channel. So in many ways, they'll be repurposing content from one channel to the next, but it has to go through a completely new approval process. And it's authored at a different time. And, you know, the cost for all these activities starts to add up. And so when we talk about managing the information, going back to the idea of these silos that Atul was talking about, we want to get rid of those. And we want everything to be located centrally so that you can also then create it in a central way. And the entire life cycle of content development becomes much more streamlined.
So, Atul, you may walk into an agency tomorrow with a complete different set of problems, and your solution might be the solution for this one is going to be using Oracle.
Absolutely.
I guess it's possible.
You know, we do like, you know, most technologies, and we do use Oracle already for our knowledge management platform, and we love it for what it does. We use a lot of Microsoft technologies in our company and for a lot of our clients. We do use SharePoint for our clients and for our company, and we love it for what it does. When we evaluated these other technologies for, you know, this problem to solve the content, you know, problem and the publication problem for our client, you know, Oracle didn't seem the right choice. Oracle is really good for, you know, the information that can be stored in, tables and the records. And
more structured.
More structured and something that doesn't change all that much. You wouldn't expect, whole new application or, you know, a lot of new applications, you know, pumping data into your Oracle database all the time. So it is, you know, kind of predictable and structured and you know how to query it. And Oracle does excellent job in those type of use cases. SharePoint, on the other side, is a great tool for document management. It's a great tool for collaboration. It's a great tool for web content management. What we wanted to do was, you know, introduce some sort of structure, and the structure that is not the presentation-oriented in our content, and SharePoint wasn't really the right tool to do that. So at that point, we made a choice to look at XML databases, and Mark Logic is one of the leading XML databases.
Well, SharePoint's an XML, isn't it?
SharePoint can store XML documents, but it is not an XML database. XML document being put in the SharePoint just, for the most part, remain there as a document. They have abilities with the help of plugin where you can, you know, query that XML document. You can even write a little bit of search that is aware of the, you know, structure in the XML, but it doesn't come close to, you know, XML database.
Adam, tell me about search and SharePoint search versus different types of search. I mean, are they that much difference between these different types of platforms?
There really is. There really is. And that was one of the things that we noted in our analysis. Interestingly enough, this problem that we were trying to solve was a six-month project. And we spent 3 months of this project doing the analysis of what is the best technology
wow.
to use.
It's going through your toolbox carefully.
Yeah, exactly. And it's eating away at the weeks. And you see this time going by and you start to say, gosh, you know, this deadline isn't getting any further out, but we have to make the right decision. Yeah. And search was a big piece of that. So you look at something like SharePoint, and sure, you can search the content within the files that are being stored on a SharePoint site. So all the XML files would be there. You have your free text search. That's all well and good. And that is exactly what is needed for the projects where we use SharePoint. For something like this challenge, we knew that we needed to be able to get at the content at a very granular level and be able to define not just a free text search for alcohol abuse, but where should alcohol abuse be located within the content? Is it part of the title? Is it part of the description? Is it part of 30 paragraphs down somewhere. And, you know, that difference matters. And that type of searching where we're not just searching for a term, but also trying to determine, you know, where is that term located, according to the XML schema that we're using. That's where, you know, when we looked at MarkLogic, nothing was comparing to that.
Yeah, and you know, that's really a great thing about XML database is that, you know, every XML document that you put in the database is automatically indexed for the tags that you use in the XML. And once you have that, you really are not doing a free text search. You are doing a free text search with the, you know, structure that you have for the XML document. You're looking for an author of a description. You're not looking just for an author anywhere in the document. You're looking for a, you know, publishing date, you know, of you know, document. You're not looking for any date in the document.
But there's other search tools you could have chosen too, aren't there?
Well, you know, I think there are not very many, you know, tools that have this XML-oriented search built at the, you know, core of it, like MarkLogic and some of the other XML mm-hmm. databases does have it.
So that's the key, is that?
That's the key. Yeah.
And we did actually, though, look at some open-source XML yes. databases.
Because so there are some out there. I don't know exactly. many, but I know they're out there.
Yeah, there's a you know, fairly known database called ExistDB, and it does a fairly good job. And we, you know, looked at that and compared that to MarkLogic. It does a lot of the things that MarkLogic does. The things that you know made us decide in favor of MarkLogic was the you know, the stability of the, you know, vendor, you know, how easily we can implement it, the architecture of MarkLogic.
We come back, talk more about maybe search, talk more about IQ solutions and what tools to use for managing content. Maybe talk about to a transition to knowledge management instead of just content management. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Atul Ganatra, Enterprise Systems Architect, and Adam Lee, Director of Information Systems. They're both from a company called IQ Solutions. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Atul Ganatra, Enterprise System Architect, and Adam Lee, Director of Information Systems from IQ Solutions. Before the break, we kind of touched on a topic called content management, knowledge management, and data management, and all kinds of different terms here. Mm-hmm. Adam, maybe you can slice and dice these terms for our audience to give them a better idea of what we're talking about.
Right, and don't forget information management. I mean, there are so many different terms that you hear, and there is really a ton of overlap, and we look and we deal with quite frequently, the breakdown between data and content, and, you know, the knowledge management platform that we have that is the foundation for our information center support has traditionally always focused on the data. It's information that is useful to us and it is useful to our customers. It is great for our data analytics program where we can make some really interesting insights into how the information is being disseminated. But the data that is being stored is not the type of information that an agency just puts out to the public. It's not very important, quite honestly. You know, it's not the information that is helping the agency achieve their mission of, you know, improving health in whatever area. Whereas the content, that's the information that really is important. It's everything from, you know, what to do if you have arthritis to you know, how to find mental health treatment. You know, there are so many different things that our customers are trying to address in this country, and so many changes on the horizon. You know, we're really trying to grapple with that and get into that content management more, where we have traditionally done a lot of the data management and knowledge management. But really expanding that to cover the content is really the next big thing for us and for our customers.
Speaking of content, I will be blogging about this interview. You can go to Google and type in John Gilroy blog, and you'll find my blog that way. That's pretty simple. It's at Armature. And I was at your site this morning, iqsolutions.com, and I saw a blog there. It looks like it's titled Health with a capital H. I think that's the blog, but it goes into a lot of subjects that you never think would be applicable, but they're very practical subjects about mental health, substance abuse, and it drills down. Very, very nice looking site, by the way. I've seen hundreds and hundreds of sites, but this is, it looks like it's it's almost like it's designed intentionally by professionals, easy to use, and a lot of information on there. I've seen sites that were challenged in that area, let's just say.
Well, we build websites for our clients, but we also built our own website. We didn't want to, you know, send that out there. And absolutely, I mean, we also have a blog. You know, you can go to iqsolutions.com, and the blog is there along with our various other social media channels. But we try to stay on top of the things that are important in health. You know, we want to not just meet the deliverables in our contracts, but we really want to improve lives. And so we're blogging and tweeting and on Facebook, and you know, we're using all these channels to, you know, to note different milestones in health, to talk about the Affordable Care Act, to talk about all these types of things that are important to people in the health arena.
So Atul, we can take content and differentiate it from knowledge, where content might be how to train transmission on a Mini Cooper, which doesn't mean anything for the healthcare industry, but it is important content for somebody. However, in the healthcare world, you may want to have content that regards to controlling diabetes or something like that. Is that the transition between content and knowledge? Knowledge applies the content for the specific audience. Is that the differentiator?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, as Adam was alluding to, the main differentiator for us is the data-oriented system versus content-oriented systems. And typically, when the content was really not digitized, you were dealing with a system that was, creating orders and managing inventories and, pretty much producing a lot of data to support that, system to, push the content back and forth, which actually was in physical format. Now, as we see the shift towards, digital world, a lot of the content is actually getting turned into, more digitized information. And the content has to have a place at the equal footing in the systems. And that's exactly what we did. So we had the system, knowledge management system, that was heavily data oriented, heavily transaction oriented. And we augmented the capability of that system with providing the content in a platform by providing the XML database. So content, lives as a first class citizen in our system, just like the data, and, is equally useful.
You know, Adam, when people talk about content management, they first think about SharePoint. But a lot of people also think about Drupal, G-R-U-P-A-L, mm-hmm. and that's more of an open source. So Microsoft has SharePoint. It's a license-based approach. I guess Drupal is more of an open source, a different approach completely. How would you compare both of those? And I think your company handles both of them. Where would you use, which tool would you use in what situation?
Well, we use SharePoint a lot for file management, for extranets, to streamline communication between IQ Solutions and our customers, that type of stuff. We use Drupal we've built websites using Drupal. You know, it's great for web content management. And, so there is a difference there, definitely a difference there. And it just goes back to what is the best solution for the problem. And we're not going to use Drupal in every scenario. We're not going to use SharePoint in every scenario. We start every project, we start every task with an assessment of what is the most appropriate solution for this problem. And we have the experts that are going to be able to build it out in whatever that choice ends up being.
You know, Atul, if I fired up Google right now, I typed in big data, I'd probably get 30 million hits. And in 5 minutes, I get 35 million hits. I mean, everyone's writing about big data. Where do you differentiate regular size? I jovially talked about medium-sized data, small-sized data. Where does big data really start? And where should my listeners really start looking at these big data tools? And maybe the big data tool like Hadoop and Hortonworks, maybe they don't really apply, but people are trying to apply it to the wrong situation.
I think big data is, basically defining the problem of having, too many different type of data sets coming at different people at a very fast speed. And, I was, John, listening to your interview with MarkLogic people that you did a couple of weeks ago, and they were mentioning that, there are three V's that define, pretty much big data and the MarkLogic platform. It's velocity, variety, and the volume. So, you get, variety of data sets that you have to analyze or manage and in a humongous volume at very fast pace. And that's basically, wrapped in this, nice term, big data. At the end of the day, it's basically information management. And, the tools are going to catch up and, have this capability to do what XML databases and MarkLogic does. And, when that happens, it is analytics, information management. It's pretty much the same thing.
Adam, mobile and health, mHealth, lowercase mHealth, is a trending topic on Twitter. There's a conference coming up. You folks are involved in both areas, I assume.
Absolutely. We do mobile app development. We've developed iOS apps that are available in the App Store, and you know, really cutting edge for some of our clients. You know, you look at the explosion of apps that are available in the various marketplaces, and you know, there are tons of things available put out there by commercial organizations, but not a ton from government organizations. At the same time, we are also looking less towards the native apps that are built. You know, it's only going to work in iOS. It's only going to work on Android. It's only going to work on, you know, whatever the technology is, to different things, you know, HTML5 and different ways of producing, you know, responsive design websites, things that, you know, you don't have to build it for each channel and each device. You can build it once, do it the right way, and you know that it's going to look and function the way it should, whether it's on a desktop or a tablet or a mobile device.
Atul, that's the old Java tagline, was create once, publish anywhere. Is that right?
Yeah, create once, run everywhere. That's the Java, and I think, you know, that's what is being applied to content. Create once, publish everywhere, and that's hopefully, you know, we have done for one of our clients very recently by implementing XML database.
I just don't know how you can do it. How would you, Adam, how would you even consider tablet, how it looks on a tablet? All of a sudden, there's another tablet out, and 6 months from now, there's going to be another tablet out, and those old-fashioned people with iPads, it's the next one up. I mean, it's difficult to know how to structure these things so it can be seen in different platforms, isn't
it? It's always changing. It's amazing. And, you know, we even dealt with this before mobile devices and tablets with different browser compatibility. And it's just a new type of ensuring compatibility on different platforms. We have a ton of people in our company with a ton of different devices. And so we can see exactly, you know, what is this website that we've built? How does it look? How does it scale down onto something where you only have a couple inches to play around with it with your fingers versus how it looks on a 24-inch monitor? And we really have to stay ahead of the curve on these sorts of things.
Yeah, it's difficult. We come back, talk more about devices and what devices our guests actually own and see what level they are in the nerd scale. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today we are speaking with Atul Ganatra, Enterprise System Architect, and Adam Lee, Director of Information Systems at a company called IQ Solutions. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Atul Ganatra, Enterprise System Architect, and Adam Lee, Director of Information Systems from IQ Solutions. We talked about big data and content management, knowledge management, different tools to use. Many of my listeners like listening online, some read blogs, and some are involved in the world of Twitter. If you want to follow me, my Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray, and I think IQ Solutions is at IQ Solutions. Is that right, Adam?
That's correct.
Great. So you can follow them and find out what events they're going at. And they're going to the same event I'm going at in December. It's called the mHealth Summit. It's at Gaylord National Center, my first visit to Prince George's County. And I guess you're going to get gambling down there, too. So maybe that's the real reason why IQ Solutions is going to that summit, because of the gambling, or who knows?
Oh, I don't know. They're building a big outlet center there, too, right?
That's that's another reason.
You know,
yeah.
We go there around Christmas time. They have a Christmas on Potomac. They had this Cirque du Soleil recently.
The kids would like
nice
that.
Place.
That'd be great. Yeah. So well, gentlemen, here's the time of the show where every guest has to take this technology survey. We find out if you're a card-carrying nerd or not. And Atul, we're going to ask you the questions first, and we're going to rate these very carefully, and they'll be rated in eternity, probably cast in stones in some Egyptian monolith over there or something. So, Atul, you bought your first computer.
I think it was around, it was pretty late for a lot of people. You know, I came to this country in 96, and I think a couple of years after that, probably around 98 time frame, I got my Compaq.
And first cell phone?
I really didn't have a need for cell phone until I got married, so...
that's a wise man there.
So the I most exactly practical, remember when I got my cell phone.
That's the most practical thing you've said in the hour interview, right? That one. So everyone should write that down.
2001, I had no use of cell phone.
I like that answer. And do you have your own Twitter feed?
Nope, I don't like to be followed around.
Okay, do you have your own blog?
Nope, I read some blogs, but I don't have my own.
Do you use online personal backup?
Yes, I do. I use Google Docs to keep a lot of my documents.
Great. What kind of a smartphone do you have?
Interestingly, I do have Android, which I do not like anymore. So I'll go back to Apple. And, you know, so I keep going back and forth. I like them both for what they do.
And what number of apps on your Android?
My kids probably will know that better. I have a lot of apps. I don't use that many apps. Most of the times I use it to, you know, play music, directions, you know, maps, check movie times, those type of things. Good.
What kind of tablet device do you have?
We have an iPad, and we recently got a Kindle.
Oh, you got a lot there. And what social networking sites do you participate in?
I use Facebook to keep in touch with a lot of personal friends.
Okay. And the last book read, was electronic or paper?
It was paper, three-fourths of the way. It was Steve Jobs' book, and I'm going to finish it up on electronic.
Well, there's a compromise. You're in Washington, D.C. here, Atul. Well, you've only been here for 15 years, but you learned how to compromise.
Yeah,
I use both.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, Adam, we got to ask you the same 10 questions. I'm going to rate you now. Now, Atul had a good start, but he kind of faded off there. His nerd rating, he's closer to being normal than being nerdy. So we'll see where you rank here. Where'd you get, what year did you buy your first computer, Adam?
I think you're going to find the same with me.
Oh, no.
I'm late on these things as well. I think the first computer was in around 99.
A weak answer. I've had one guy say Apple II, and he gave me the serial number. You're your first cell phone.
Even worse, 2004.
You are in big trouble. This guy is not a nerd, ladies and gentlemen. And do you have your own Twitter feed?
I do not.
No. Do you have your own blog?
I do not.
He's sinking fast. He's normal. He's not a nerd. He's normal. Do you have an online personal backup that you use?
So I use a Western Digital network attached storage that I can get to from the internet, but not the traditional.
You have a private cloud.
Yeah, exactly. NAS. This is some big nerd points to have your own NAS. It's the Atom Web or something, huh?
Right.
What kind of smartphone do you have?
Droid now, but much like Atul, I've gone back and forth, and I may be going back to iOS.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And number of apps on that Android?
Oh, probably a couple dozen that get very little use.
That's weak. And what kind of tablet device do you have?
I have an original iPad.
Ooh, there says he's bragging right there. That's not bad. And what social networking sites do you participate in?
I'm not on Facebook, but I am on LinkedIn.
And the last book you read was paper or electronic?
Definitely paper. It was Hop on Pop by Dr. Seuss.
Hop on Pop.
Yep. Just a couple hours
ago. That's not what the listeners want to hear. They want to hear advanced physics. And
you know, all these little kids, and they really love the tablets too, and the flat screen devices. But we're starting with the cardboard pages.
I've had guests tell me that they put an iPad in front of a 2-year-old and bang, they're off. They don't even. They just. They know how to use it with intuitively.
It's absolutely.
That's exactly why we recently got a Kindle, because you know you can do pretty much you know all of that on iPad, but there's just so much distraction. You are doing everything but reading, and you know my son actually himself said that you know I would much rather have a Kindle, because you can't do anything, and it's an excellent reading device.
Speaking of mobile devices, I see this big transition and move. I think in the last 6 months, people look at sales of desktops. They're way, way down. If you look at sales of laptops in the last 2 months, laptops are plateauing. People aren't buying laptops. They're buying iPads and tablets and smartphones.
Yep.
And so Adam, from the perspective of my listeners, I think every federal IT professional has to take and consider making their website or their content or knowledge, whatever you want to call it, it has to be mobile friendly, doesn't it? There's no choice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we look to the agencies that we serve who are trying to get health information out there. And one of the interesting things that we see is a lot of times the information that the agencies are trying to get out there, the people who need it don't know that they need it. And if they do know that they need it, they may not even know that the agency exists. They're not necessarily going to go to the federal government for health information. And so we need to reach people where they are. And that means making sure that the content is accessible on tablets and on mobile devices. It means working with partners to get information out, not just on the agency's website, but on the websites of other organizations, and really not waiting for individuals to come to us, but really going out and getting to them and recognizing, you know, they're using mobile devices, they're using tablets, they're not sitting down on their computer to do the same types of things that they would do even 2, 3, 4 years ago.
You know, Atul, I was at a presentation at Georgetown with a guy named Todd Park. And he got up there, and he really is heavily involved in the commercial world. They all know him in the commercial world and healthcare IT world. And what fascinates him is many of the commercial people he meets from Denver or Oregon or Chicago, they turn to him and say, well, we didn't know that was available.
Yeah.
I mean, and so it is available. And you folks may be the vehicle that an agency like HHS or DOI Interior, whoever, can use to say, oh, by the way, we have these data sets that are available, and you can maybe develop an app that can help some person in Texas manage their diabetes. So that's what you can help provide that information for.
Exactly. Like Adam was saying, you know, we have to be prepared to deliver the content and information on, you know, multitude of devices. At the same time, I think it gets into the foundation of how you produce the content. The content, when it's being used on your, you know, screen monitor, may not have the same meaning when it's actually used on the phone or on the move. People can actually, you know, use it in many different ways. So, you know, it changes the game completely, not only the way you format it, but the way you produce it, you know, the way you chunk it and the way you present it from the beginning.
So, Adam, I'm going to ask you to make a bold prediction here. 5 years from now, we look back and say, oh, petabytes, that was nothing. I got a 100 petabyte thumb drive right here.
Yeah.
Or is it going to tap out, or is it going to go from big data down to maybe more complex, smaller data sets? What's going to happen here in 5 years?
It's going to keep growing, and it's going to keep expanding. You know, we're going to see new devices that we haven't even imagined. We are going to see new delivery mechanisms emerge. And we're going to really keep coming to grips with the fact that we have to continue changing. We can't just stay stagnant. We couldn't 10 years ago. We couldn't 5 years ago. We can't now. And we're not going to be able to just stop and say, okay, you know, we've done it. We're in a good place and we're done.
Yeah, the devices, the systems are, you know, becoming ever more intelligent. And I was thinking about, you know, a lot of times, you know, I see a lot of problems in our daily life, and, you know, that's where the solutions arise from. You have, you know, devices, smart handheld devices, which we carry around, and, you know, they are getting smarter. They track your behavior. They suggest things that you wouldn't think of. They, you know, I mean, I have so many applications that I don't know which ones to, you know, download and use. You know, the devices probably will get smarter and figure out that, you know, you seem to be having this behavioral issue.
Right.
And, you know, why don't you use this app to, you know, fix the issues that you have and things of that nature. And, you know, everywhere the data helps.
Yep. Great. We'll have to end the interview here. Been very interesting discussion on content management, knowledge management, and what tools to use, how agencies can use different tools to accomplish different sets. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest Atul Ganatra, Enterprise System Architect, and Adam Lee, Director of Information Systems from IQ Solutions. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 11, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, your source for federal news now.